Portions of this program may be pre-recorded.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for hanging in there with us. We're talking today on Let's Face the Issues about erasing history. That's removing our monuments and our statues across the nation. It's just taken place in the city of Jacksonville. It's already been taking place in several other states in America. Virginia, the state of Virginia, has the largest number of Confederate memorials in the country, but that's changing rapidly. I'm reading an article here that says, as nationwide protest continues to follow the death of George Floyd in the police custody, the debate over removing Confederate statues has reignited, and the city that was once the capital of the Confederacy is now taking the lead. Richmond, Virginia City Council on Friday decided unanimously to remove the Confederate statues on Monument Avenue. The decision followed the announcement by the Democratic Governor Ralph Northam that the six-story tall statue of Robert E. Lee looms over the city streets. It would come down. Unlike the Confederate statues on the streets, the monument of Lee, the Confederate's top general, is owned by the Commonwealth of Virginia. Others along the street include Jefferson Davis, the president of the Confederate States, Stonewall Jackson, one of Lee's top generals, etc., etc. And it goes on to talk about the fact that Virginia has 110 Confederate monuments, 13 of which are in Richmond. The state also has 244 Confederate symbols, which include roads and bridges and names of the Confederate leaders, more than any other state. There are 41 symbols for Robert E. Lee. And it goes on to talk about Northam and his decision based on the mandates by Black Lives Matter. We're talking today, ladies and gentlemen, with Florida District 1 Congressman, that is Representative Mike Hill. Congressman, before the break, we just touched on and started talking about Black Lives Matter. Would you share for the benefit of our listeners something further about Black Lives Matter and what it is, what it isn't, and what we should do from the standpoint, should we listen, should we bow, should we bend, should we follow all of the whims and the wishes and demands that they're making? What is America going to be like if this organization continues and is morphing into something as bad, if not worse, than Antifa?
Yes, and to answer your question, should we give in to their demands? The answer is no. They are a terrorist organization funded by George Soros and the Clinton Foundation. They have been coerced into making these demands that are very well organized and strategic. To give you an example of that, Dr. Youngblood, there are now groups in England who are demanding that bust of Winston Churchill come down. So it's all a part of this leftist mindset, this desire to want to take down the structure of our government the way it currently exists and try to make it into something that they want, which is socialism and communism. It would be a disaster. Black Lives Matter is a part of that group, and so is Antifa. And when President Trump announced that Antifa is a terrorist organization, the reason why that was so important is because in Florida and in other states, we have a law that is called Andy's Law. Andy's Law says that if you are a victim of a terrorist attack or act, then you can bring civil penalties against those who perpetrated the attack and against those who funded it. That was a bill that I ran in 2016. It was passed and signed into law in 2017. So we need our president to declare, President Trump, to declare Black Lives Matter also as a terrorist organization so that we see them going on these rampages of destroying monuments. I've seen pictures of where they have destroyed Lincoln, monuments of Abraham Lincoln.
They took on Abraham Lincoln's monument, they took some sledgehammers and did major chipping away of the material damage, as well as vile, vicious, malicious, vulgar spray painting, signs all over it, some in red, some in blue, some in black, all over it. They have really, really, really done a horrific job on the Lincoln Memorial, not even realizing that it was Abraham Lincoln that was the president in place at the time of the freedom of slavery, freedom
That's
of the
right.
slaves. So That's it's right. not a matter of understanding the purpose of the monument. It's a matter of the rage that's out there that we're going to uproot the capitalistic constitutional republic called the United States of America. And you're right on target when you make the statement they're a terrorist organization. In fact, I have made the statement that they are the socialist, Marxist, democratic people that are making the decisions, and it's Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and others. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and about a dozen or so congresspeople in Washington kneeled in the rotunda of the Capitol in honor and recognition of Black Lives Matter. And I'm looking at an article, Congressman. Most everybody's familiar with the name Alan Dershowitz. Now, it doesn't mean that I'm in agreement with his some of his politics, but he is a renowned constitutionalist. And Alan Dershowitz makes this statement about statutes. He said, the liberals, when it comes to the statutes, the liberals are doing just what Stalin did, trying to erase history. He says, but the idea of willy-nilly going through and doing what Stalin did, just erases history, rewriting it to serve current purposes, does pose a grave danger. It poses a danger of educational malpractice and missing opportunities to educate people on going too far. And he goes on to talk about what this is doing to America by trying to erase our history. And you have been so eloquently correct in your statement that our president needs to designate it as a terrorist organization. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but Antifa and Black Lives Matter have both morphed out of the old 1970s weather underground, and they have adopted the same 6 points of operation. And for the benefit of our listeners, those 6 points: destroy capitalism, the weapon of choice is systematic racism and police racism. 3, identify the victim classes. 4, organize the victim classes. 5, engage in international solidarity with the global movement. And 6, attack and dethrone God. Most are not aware that Black Lives Matter is absolutely pro-sodomite, the LGBTQ movement. In fact, one of the three Marxist founders of Black Lives Matter relates to it and says on her website, I'm a proud feminist queer, is the way the term is used that she's using of herself. And for the benefit of our listeners, and then we'll get further into it from your perspective, let me just go over a few things. Black Lives Matter was organized in 2013 after the Trayvon Martin case. The three founders are Patrice Cullors, Alice Garza, and Opal Tamita, and they brag about their position as defiant anarchists. They don't use the term anarchists, but revolutionaries. They're exploiting black lives and promoting Marxist revolution. No law and order, no police, just thugs, as I make the statement. They're using the same tactics as the Weather Underground, Bill Ayers and Bernadine Dorn, of the two which sat in council with Barack Hussein Obama, helping him promote his campaign when he was elected president. These three founders, here's the point. These three founders all worked for the front groups as the Freedom Road Socialist Organization, which is one of the largest radical leftist Marxist organizations in America. They also work in concert with the Communist Party USA. They work in concert with the Democratic Socialist Party of America. They work in concert with the Committee of Correspondents for Democracy and Socialism. They work in concert with the focus organizations born out of the former ACORN group, which most or should be aware of, now called Dream Defenders, and the Service Employees International Union. So the point that I wanted our listeners to understand, Congressman, we're dealing with, just as you said, a terrorist organization.
Yes, and I like the point that you made, Dr. Youngblood. They are a terrorist organization that hates God. They do not yes. want God even mentioned in our history, in any of our documents, to not be a part of the public discourse. These are people who are against God, who are against civility, who are against civil structure. They're anarchists. And we need to identify them for who they are and stand up to them. Why on earth Lenny Curry, Mayor Lenny Curry, would give in to something like that, an organization like that, and why we have Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer taking a knee, bowing to them. It's unbelievable. And Dr. Youngblood, I'm going to have to apologize, but I do need to go. But thank you so much for having me on your show.
Do this. Take one more minute. I want our listeners to hear from your lips. Tell our listeners how they can get on your website, what they can do. Ladies and gentlemen, we must reelect Congressman Mike Hill, District 1, the state of Florida. Congressman, tell our listeners before you leave what they can do to help you in the reelection process.
Thank you, Pastor Youngblood. If they go to votemikehill.com, that's votemikehill.com, you will see where I stand on many issues, and you will also be able to hit the donate button and contribute to my campaign. It would be greatly appreciated. And I'll say this, Dr. Youngblood, the church needs to arise. The church Yes. needs to stand up. If Christians go out and vote, we can turn this around and make this nation what it was supposed to be, and that is its destiny of preaching the gospel to a lost world. That's Yes. what we have to focus on.
Amen. Thank you so much, Congressman, for joining us today. Have a blessed day, and we're always delighted to have you on board. Anytime, our mics are open for your stand.
Thank you, Pastor. Have a great day.
Thank you, and God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to continue this dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Are you concerned about what's happening in America? Are you concerned about the Black Lives Matter terrorist organization and what they're doing? If you're listening today and you're a pastor, if you're listening today and you're a Christian, if you're listening today, regardless of your skin color, if you are embracing Black Lives Matter, you are embracing an organization that's antithetical to, that means totally opposite of, totally against the Word of God. And I would commend to you, get into the Scripture, study the Scripture, and understand that we need to come out from among them and be separate if we're saved. It's an impossibility to say that you're saved, to say that you're a Christian, or most especially to say that you're a Christian pastor and you're going to embrace Black Lives Matter and you're going to march with them or sit with them or entertain them or in any fashion agree with what they're doing as terrorist organization. In fact, one of the major things, and I pulled this off their website just this morning to make sure that it's still there. This article is from their website. It says their mission, our mission, is to eradicate white supremacy and to build local power to intervene. Ladies and gentlemen, what they're saying is that every white person is viewed as an enemy. It is the enemy of the black person as they see it. And this is the reason they're pushing now to destroy any monument or any vestige of history so that there will not be any markings or anything left to point it. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Some of the things that is spoken of about Dr. Martin Luther King during the course of his days of marching, although he said it was for peaceful demonstration, much of his demonstrations and marches were absolute riotous, just like we're seeing with Black Lives Matter. There are monuments up across the nation of Dr. Martin Luther King. Now, listen very carefully to what I'm saying and what I'm not saying. I'm not saying go out there and take a jackhammer and remove Martin Luther King monuments. But I'm saying that if they're right to have a Martin Luther King monument, what is wrong with the monuments that they're tearing down and destroying? What is seen in their eyes as being okay is supposed to be embraced and supported and celebrated in the eyes of others, yet what is seen in the eyes of others is to be removed in the eyes of the Black Lives Matter. It's because they're a socialist, Marxist organization that's out to tear down and destroy the fundamental foundation of America. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, thank you very much for having Congressman Mike Hill on your program. And I am reminded of the fact that as we get closer to the coming of our Lord, as spoken of in Revelation, that light will be light and dark will be dark, and it will become more apparent to everyone. And your program is a great encouragement to me and to a lot of us listeners. I'm listening to you at St. Simon's Island, Georgia. I cannot vote for Congressman Hill, but his words encourage me, and I wrote down his website, and I hope to make a donation to him, and I thank you for having him on the air. As we move into the future in this country, people who believe the way that you and Congressman Hill believe and that I believe must stand up, and without regard to the effects on our personal jobs, without regard to the effects on our relationships, we need to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ and against those who would seek to put his name under the bus, so to speak, and denigrate him. Certainly, if one simply takes the time to Google the leadership of Black Lives Matter, they will find that those people are not tolerant. They are not in any way classic Americans in their minds. They are, as you have said, anarchists. And Congressman Hill really surprised me when he called them out and said they were a terrorist organization. But I applaud you for having him on the air, and I appreciate your program so much. And I hope you have a wonderful day, and thank you for what you do, sir.
Thank you for those complimentary statements and for the words of encouragement. Thank you for your insight for our listeners. And I would resoundingly say what you have said and would encourage our other listeners. Go to Congressman Hill's website. At least give words of encouragement. Pray for him. And if possible, make a contribution. And I say that because I know the man. I know his stand. I know his heart. Standing for the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, on one occasion on one of our interviews by way of this same broadcast, Congressman Hill made the statement that his allegiance is first and foremost to the Lord. If he never gets reelected, he said he's going to take a stand on biblical principles and his Christian life, his family, and our Constitution. I failed to mention to our listeners that he is an attorney. He knows the Word of God, and he knows the laws of the land. And so we need people like that in office. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about Black Lives Matter. How can you call yourself a Christian, especially as a pastor? And right here in our city, we have pastors. We have pastors that say they're Christian pastors that are showing on their Facebook pictures of them with the Black Lives Matter circle around their pictures that they're standing for, Black Lives Matter. With the position that is the right thing to do. And there are Christians that's listening to me today that you may be black. That doesn't make – God doesn't see skin color. God sees the heart. It's an impossibility to say I'm saved and I'm a Christian and I learn and study and love the Word of God and then embrace a terrorist anarchist organization. Black Lives Matter, not only rioting, looting, and burning and vandalizing businesses, they're demanding that the national heritage and our historical monuments be removed. And ladies and gentlemen, many of these monuments and heritage markers have been up for 100, 150, 200 years. But supposedly now, these national monuments are now that which are should be viewed as being racist. When you run out of intellectual argument, when you run out of intellectual prowess, when you run out of intellectual capability to discuss an issue, then there is the default clause called racism. And that's what folks like to call it, racism, if they don't have the intellectual ability to discuss and dialogue and debate an issue. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood, this is Raymond Johnson again, Biblical Concepts Ministries. Thanks once again for allowing me to call in just really quickly. And thank you again for having Representative Mike Hill on your your program. We just really appreciate him. And I want to let the listeners know, yesterday, I'm not a wealthy man, but yesterday I went online and gave $25 to Representative Mike Hill, even though he's halfway across my state, because he's such a rare find in politics, and we need godly men like that.
Amen.
But I just want to speak to a couple quick things. It's interesting you led right into what I wanted to call about, which is the amount of so-called pastors that are getting involved in this so-called Black Lives Matter movement and promoting this. You know, you always see the black pastors come out when it comes to black issues. Look, we're not racist. You just said we don't see skin color. Let's move on. You know, it's the greatest day in America, in our history, to live and be black. You know, I mean, we've had our first black president and all these things. But I want to point out, you have many of these preachers from the pulpit locally and nationally, and I'm going to give you an example. Just a few days ago, you had this group of, a dozen or two black pastors in our city that pretty much put out their demand, which was aligned with the Antifa and Black Lives Matter demands, okay? One of those that you saw in the news media was Mark Griffin, a pastor on the west side. That happens to be, and I hate to do this, but it's just we have to do this at this point. That is where gone rogue Christian brother Sam Newby has gone off the charts, and he goes to church there. His pastor is actively and openly supporting this anti-Christian, anti-American domestic terrorist organization. Mm. Their demands are absolutely uncalled for. And now on the national level, let me share this and I'll go. Just yesterday, the president of the Southern Baptist Convention comes out with, it's all in writing and it's on video of him supporting this movement. These people are just absolutely totally ignorant of what they're doing, or they're pure evil. There's no in between. I don't think that J.D. Greer is intentionally gets up to say that, you know, that, hey, I want to be a communist and support this stuff, but they are deceived, having their consciences seared with a hot iron, and so deceived that they would support this stuff. So I just want to warn you, look, pay attention. Whatever, if your church or your pastor is supporting this movement, you need to confront it, and if they refuse to see it and repent, you need to leave and take everybody with you. This is evil. This is the deception of the Antichrist spirit, and that's really all I have to say. I just wanted to warn your listeners.
Raymond,
thank you for your time.
Hang on there for just one moment. Let me read into our broadcast a statement from Tucker Carlson, and then we can bound it about for a moment. We've got a few minutes left. Tucker Carlson, colon, Black Lives Matter is not about black lives, he says. Over the weekend, something unprecedented happened in America. A small group of highly aggressive, emotionally charged activists took over our culture. They forced the entire country to obey their will. It is all happening so fast with such ferocity that virtually no one resisted it, end quote. He was referring to the breathtaking pace at which the statement and fact of opinion that were entirely within the bounds of reasonable conversation became enough to get you fired from your job if you said anything about it. In fact, it was just on the morning news where an employee with Chick-fil-A had a Chick-fil-A shirt on, and it says Blue Lives Matter on the back of the shirt. That is police officers. And as a result of that, Chick-fil-A then had the shirts removed and apologized to Black Lives Matter, the terrorist, Marxist, anarchist organization. They are not satisfied with one thing taking place. They want it all. And it's a socialist, Marxist, Stalin type organization that's trying to erase history and to destroy the fundamental foundation of America. And Psalms 11:3 says, if our foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous to do? So,
that's
Raymond,
right.
What is the call to action? How should Christians respond to this?
Wow, now that's a big question. It's very true. First of all, we better be praying, but we have to pray. We have to learn, just as people are doing now. Again, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What we are seeing is just because of a completely ignorant church. We are biblically ignorant, and we are not praying, okay? And we must begin to pray, and then we need to act. Once we learn this stuff, we need to be teaching others and educating our brothers and sisters. Hey, you talk about the SBC, it loves to say, and I'm Pentecostal, by the way, but the SBC is used to be the greatest organization and, the Christian church that we had in America as far as number and in their involvement and impact on society. But educate your brother and sister by teaching them this stuff and get involved. There's many aspects, but stand up, get involved locally, get involved with your local elections and elect godly people. And, the main thing at this point is, honestly, it's getting to the point we're so far gone that really the work of the gospel is a number one, but we cannot neglect, you can't just choose one side of the work and ignore the other, which is what the church has done with the three institutions. We've decided that politics was of the world and we neglected it. And that's why we see what we see.
Well, you've touched on that so aptly, Raymond, because for 50, 60 years now, pastors have preached on the pulpit that politics is dirty, wicked, and evil, and Christians ought not to get involved. As a result of that, we have the overwhelming majority, if you don't believe that, look at Nancy Pelosi and AOC and Chuck Schumer. We have a major, major number of folks today that talk about God and talk about biblical things, but they're far from Christians. I want to, before our time is up, on this broadcast. Thank you so much, Raymond, for joining us today. It's always a delight to have you jump into the center ring and let's talk about these issues. God bless you today. This article by Tucker Carlson went on to say, just 1 week ago, he said, the new rule has become, you're not allowed to question Black Lives Matter in any way. The radical organization is not about black lives. It's a political party, maybe the strongest political party of the United States today. Its members believe they can reshape this country. So far, they're proving they are right. Over the past weekend, Black Lives Matter vividly irrational police policy prescription, defund police, has gained traction among some Democratic leaders. And it goes on to talk about nationwide with the Democratic leadership wanting to defund police. In fact, when they started talking about that, ladies and gentlemen, in Los Angeles, this article says, homicides this week have increased 250% since Los Angeles started talking about defunding the police department. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on Let's Face the Issues today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You're listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University. 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study, prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in this same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.